Our next public hearing is subdivision 2007-4, La Crosse Homes of Delaware.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 90.11 acres into 82 lots, located at the southwest corner of the intersection of Road 620 and Road 617. Now, this application has been reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has received any additional comments since the Technical Advisory Committee report was prepared.
Mr. Wheatley, on the TAC review of June 20th, 2007, it'll be made a part of the record on this application. On April 7th of 2008, we received a revised plan addressing the TAC comments. They also provided a letter addressing those comments. Each of you has received a copy of that plan. On September 2nd, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet and considerations of section 99-9C. They will also be made a part of the record. And today we received an email from Timothy and Tina Shockley opposed to this application. I've made a copy of that, passing it down. That'll be incorporated into the record. And then late this afternoon, we received a fax from the State of Delaware Historical and Cultural Affairs opposing this application. I'll pass a copy down of that, and that'll also be incorporated into the record. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir. We thank you. I assume there's some folks here with an interest in this application this evening. Okay, good. There are boards here and up here. This one is already turned to face you. Feel free to get up, walk over, take a look at it, because I know you can't see it from back there. There will may be other exhibits as well. Anytime you want to look at something, feel free to just get up and go have a look. And hopefully in the not too distant future, you will be afforded the opportunity to speak. Okay, who's representing this application this evening?
Good evening, members of the commission. My name is Ring Lardner. I'm a civil engineer with Davis Bone and Friedel, and I will be representing the application. With me this evening is Mrs. Susan Isaacs and Mr. Hugh Martin, who both are representing the partnership also tonight. As Mr. Abbott mentioned, we have previously submitted a presentation booklet for your aid in reviewing this project. I will not bore you by going through page by page the entire booklet. I will, however, highlight a few things. The site is located at the intersection of Abbott's Pond Road here and Lindell Road here. Abbott's Pond is here. Abbott's Mill Nature Center's in the top right corner. That's Abbott's Pond Road, Lindell Road, Abbott's Pond, Abbott's Mill Nature Center. Are there any questions on the location of the site? The site is located in a rural area according to the 2002 Comprehensive Plan. I reference the 2002 Comprehensive Plan because that was the plan that was in effect at the time of this submission in 2007 before the plan became adopted by council. The property is currently zoned AR1. Both AR1 zoning and the comp plan permit single-family residential homes with a density of less than 2 units per acre. This project here, a total of 90.11 acres, as shown, that 82 single-family homes with a gross density of 0.91 units per acre. The development was designed to minimize the disturbance of the wetlands and the forested buffer. As you can see, the property has forested land here. There's also some forest located on the individual lots here, which I'll explain in a minute how we're not showing the forest on that property now. Again, the forest in this corner of the property. Along the lots, there's some woodland also that we don't show currently on the lot. And there's 0.54 acres of wetlands located in this general area of the site here, as delineated. The vehicular circulation will be provided through the development with one entrance on Lindell Road, right here, and then a circular pattern throughout. There are no cul-de-sacs in this subdivision. Provides looping and many different paths throughout the development. A 30-foot forested buffer is provided along all adjacent properties that are in active farming. That's along here. This is all woodlands that extends back in here. And again, there's the forested land here and then the frontage on Abbott's Pond and Lindell Road. There's also a 25-foot forested buffer we're providing for the Scott parcel, which is this parcel right here. Scott parcel right there. As I said before, the site does contain isolated wetlands in the wooded area on the northwestern portion of the site, and that will remain completely undisturbed. Recreation features include sidewalks on both sides of the road. Again, the wetlands remain as open space, and the large portion of the woods remain open. There is an open parcel of land here, which will also remain open. At this time, there are no active amenities planned for that except the big, large field for young people or older people to go play on, depending on what they want to do, that kind of stuff. So therefore, I didn't account for that in the active open space. We have no active amenities planned for it, but yet it will remain open to be used for active open space. The roads are designed to DLDOT standards and will be dedicated to the state of Delaware upon completion and acceptance by the state. And a traffic impact study is not required for this project. Utilities, the project will be served by on-site water and on-site wastewater. A soil feasibility study has been conducted and completed by Coastal Soil Consultants, and it was approved by DENREC. We've also received willing and able letters from Delaware Electric Co-op, Sharp Energy, Comcast, and Verizon, who will provide utilities for the subdivision as it goes forward in the future, provided it's approved by the commission this evening. Environmental, we plan to preserve 9.61 acres of the woodlands. That is 62.77% of the total woodlands on site. The reason why I say we're only preserving the 9.67 is the woodlands on the parcel, we are going to design the lots to preserve those trees. However, as individual homeowners, they have the capability to clear cut that lot if they choose. We plan to grade it and design it so that all the trees can remain. However, right now, if a homeowner were to buy that lot and they chose to do it, they could potentially clear cut the lot. I'm not saying they will or they won't. So therefore, we're saying 62.77% can be preserved through open space and forested buffers that we have within the subdivision. Again, the wetlands will not be disturbed, and it will actually have a 50-foot undisturbed buffer to protect those wetlands in addition. The PLUS reviewed the project in September of 2006. We had addressed those comments, and they are also included in your presentation booklets. There have been several ordinances that have been adopted since this project was first submitted. They are the buffer ordinance and the source water protection area ordinance, because the plans do not directly show us applying or being in accordance with those ordinances. I wanted to address them real quick, and that is the site does have a 30-foot forested buffer all along this buffer here. We have a 25-foot forested buffer for this lot here. Currently, there is no buffer planned along the road frontages. There will be some landscaping put there, but based on typical DLDOT requirements, besides approving the roadway, we will also have to put 15-foot easement and a 10-foot multimodal path along that, along both Lindale and Abbott's Pond Road. Source water protection area, based on quick computations today, the site could potentially, as of today, have an impervious area of 40.24%. The way that was accounted for is there's 71.67 acres within the source water protection area. That map's located in Exhibit 2 if you'd like to see the excellent recharge area. Of that 71.67 acres, 51.1 is on lots. I made it an assumption of 40% of that lot would become impervious. Code requires 30% maximum. That's for the primary building. I then factored in the driveway, a shed, and something else, and that's how I calculated that 40% of a lot would become impervious. And then the right-of-way of 8.4 acres, I assumed to be 100% impervious. I didn't factor in the grass strips, things of that nature. That's how I came up with the 40% impervious. It's high. I'd rather be on the high end than low end. According to the code, we're anywhere between 35 and 60% is permitted. However, we have to do mitigation, and we will do that mitigation in accordance with the code through recharge areas and other BMPs and best available technologies. That will be available either now or in the future as we learn more about recharge and things of that nature. Before I close my presentation, I'd just like to make a point regarding Chapter 99.9C. I believe tonight that I've covered all 17 points in that chapter. However, if I happen to missed one or two, I'd like to note that we have submitted the official response to that, Chapter 99.9C, and a copy can be found in Exhibit 5 of your booklet. Gentlemen, tonight we are seeking preliminary plan approval for the Manis at Abbott's Pond, grade 2 single-family lots on 90.11 acres. And subject to any questions that you may have, this includes my presentation. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we will start once again with Mr. Burton.
Get to it.
First question I would have, was a cluster ever considered?
This is a straight by right subdivision. Cluster was not considered.
Was there any reason why not to consider the cluster?
At the time, the developer that was going to do this project wanted to do a very by right subdivision. Three-quarter acre lots, they had no desire to do a cluster subdivision. And that was the request to us, was to do a straight subdivision with on-site water and on-site wastewater. Short of that, Mr. Burton, I don't know why the developer at that time had chosen to go that way.
Was water and septic, you're choosing to do wells and septic. Was there a central system ever considered?
A septic system was never considered because of the number of units on the site does not support to have a central wastewater system due to the cost of that system. That's why it was never approached to either Tidewater or Artesian or any other company that could provide that kind of service. Was that 82 units was not enough units to support a type of central wastewater system. It'd be too expensive for either the homeowner association to maintain or for another company to own and maintain that system. I do know that Tidewater does have a CPCN for water out there, and one of the comments in TAC was to approach Tidewater for at least central water, of which we will do that, subject to the commission granting approval, if approval is granted.
There has been a septic feasibility done out there?
Yes, sir. There's a soil feasibility study done. The next step would then be put on a grid system. Then they would be able to further determine the type of systems and further evaluations for DENREC to approve.
You mentioned there would be sidewalks on both sides of the
Yes,
street.
Sir.
Will there be any lighting? Would there be any street lighting?
There's no lighting proposed. I'm not saying that the lighting cannot be provided. I know, again, speaking for the developer at the time, lighting was a standard in their subdivision. We just did not show the lighting on the preliminary plan.
The stormwater management system that you have, is the outfall into tributary that comes up there?
Mr. Burton, if things go the way we plan on them going, there will be no outfall required. However, if one is required, yes, sir, it will discharge into the woodlands, into the wetlands area, and then according to DENREC and Sussex Conservation District, we'll then do further downstream analysis of things of that nature for the stormwater discharge. But our goal is to infiltrate or recharge 100% of the site.
Is that through some kind of how are you getting the water down there?
We're getting the water down there through a central collection system, your standard catch basins and pipes. It'll discharge, and then at that point we'll create just a little spillway to spill over into the infiltration area so that the sediments settle out prior to hitting the infiltration area, so the infiltration area will quickly work, and then the groundwater or the stormwater will seep through the soils and down into the groundwater.
How big is the field that is next to that? Play area that you have?
I'm ballparking about an acre and a half, acre and a quarter, acre and a half, based on the calculations in Section 2.
Now, be maintained by the homeowners association?
Yes, sir.
Has there been any thought given to a school bus stop at the end of this?
There hasn't been a school bus stop. However, we will coordinate, and one of the other comments is to coordinate with the Milford School District about a school bus stop. And typically, the school bus would stop at the intersection of Lindale Road and the entrance coming in, so we can provide some sort of bus stop or bus shelter at that point for the students waiting for the school bus. We can accommodate that either adjusting one of the lots and create just a small little pocket of open space for that, or perhaps work with DOT out and allowing it to be in their easement.
Do you think there's enough room there to put some parking for it?
There'd be a way that we could do an on-street parking for one or two cars to kind of wait or have a bus stop turn off, but the school bus is more than likely, and I can't speak for the school district, will more than likely not come into that development. They'll just stop at that intersection. So I'm sure there's a way we could design the street to provide some sort of on-street parking for the few cars that may be waiting with their students. But again, without talking to the school district, Ms. Burton, I'm only...
They mentioned in here that there is a possibility of a historic site here.
Yes, sir. And if...
Has there been any movement to...
I have not. I looked for the site, and I haven't found the site exactly where the house is currently located. If any architecture remains on the site were found during the disturbance, obviously we then contact cultural resources to then document and everything else that needs to happen on there. And that's if there's anything remaining from that home found on site.
As of now, you don't even know that there was.
As of now, according to the atlas, they say there is. I haven't been able on the atlas to pinpoint exactly where it is on the site compared to 1868, and in the future, it could be just slightly off the property line or on the property. I haven't myself been able to figure out where exactly the house would have been located on the site.
And you mentioned that there would be no buffer along, no planted buffer of any kind along Lindale Road or the other road?
No forested buffer is defined. Okay, there would be some landscaping, some trees provided along that would help break up the subdivision, but not a forested buffer as defined in the buffer ordinance.
But there would be a landscape buffer in that 30-foot section there? Is there a 30-foot buffer between
There's
Lindale?
No buffer along Lindale or Abbots Pond Road.
No buffer.
There's no buffer at all. There's the right-of-way, a 15-foot permanent easement for the multimodal path, and then between that multimodal path and the lots, we provide some kind of plantings.
That would actually be on the property owners.
On property owners and or within the easement to DelDOT.
Other questions I have?
All right, sir, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And going back and reviewing your firm's responses to the plus comments, I've found that they seem to be lacking in terms of responding to the historical and nature of the area, and in particular that of Abbott's Mill Pond and that. How would you envision the impact of this development on Abbott's Mill and the programs that are being provided there currently?
I expect to be minimal impacts on Abbott's Mill Nature Center and Abbott's Mill itself. The subdivision is character and nature to the other properties and subdivisions nearby. There's the Blair's Estates within a mile of the subdivision that has 115 lots. I quickly counted those today. There's also strip lots along both Abbott's Pond Road and Lindale's Roads that is 3/4 acre. So the subdivision itself, granted, is creating 82 additional lots. However, I don't feel it would be detrimental to the Abbott's Mill Nature Center. They're within walking distance, and those future homeowners could go to Abbott's Mill Nature Center and use that facility more than what's currently being used there today.
And there's also in the plus comments concerns about the traffic impact that it would have on the area, in particular that of, once again, Abbott's Mill and the bridge, and being quite familiar with the area, it's hazardous enough to travel along that road with a curve, especially over the mill pond. What efforts, if any, are you anticipating providing to assist in that?
The only efforts that I expect that DLDOT would require the subdivision and the and developer would be improvements along Lindell Road and Abbott's Pond Road. Again, the site is not subject to the traffic impact study. I don't know how far DLDOT would have them go look out to do future improvements. And as far as I know, DLDOT has no improvements planned for out in that area with the level four investment area that it's in there. If DLDOT were to come to the developer and ask for improvements, I'm sure the developer would work with DLDOT to make those improvements. But as far as I know today, there's no additional improvements planned beyond the property line of both Abbott's Pond Road and Lindell Road.
Switching back to that of your individual septics and sewage disposal, what would you anticipate would have a greater impact on Abbott's Mill Pond itself in terms of 87 individual septic systems or a central wastewater treatment plant that supposedly puts out water that's good enough to drink?
I can't tell a lie. The 82 lots would have, they're not treated the same standards as central water system. I don't know. I haven't studied enough the groundwater as to where the groundwater flow. Does it flow directly to Abbott's Pond, or how does it flow? What does the additional ground provide treatment through the system? This kind of, I don't have those answers, and I'm not a subject matter expert to even answer this kind of question for you, Mr. Johnson. I can get those answers for you.
Okay.
I just don't have them tonight.
And as I understand it, this area is in an excellent groundwater recharge area.
Yes, sir.
What efforts would be taken to assist in the continued excellent groundwater recharge?
There's many technologies out there today. I'm sure there's many more in the future. One of the plans is to the stormwater pond and the upper right portion. We plan on making that a recharge infiltration basin, which will recharge the entire subdivision back into the aquifer. There's also provision we make on the lot for the homeowners to help with. The problem with having homeowners do that, not all homeowners follow the ways that stormwater should be designed. That's why most of the time we don't do on-lot stormwater management. It's because each homeowner is different as to how they maintain it and don't maintain it. So the intent right now, the subdivision, is to do 100% recharge in that stormwater managed pond that we show in the plan.
And what type of housing are you proposing?
I have no idea, Mr. Johnson.
So we don't know if we're talking about modulars or we're talking about stick build or?
I don't know the answer to that right now. I'll be honest, the developer that was originally going to take this project through has since backed out of the project. The homeowners would like to be granted a preliminary plan approval, and they will work with a new developer in the future. They're here tonight. They can say whether they prefer one way or the other, stick build or modular, but I cannot speak for them or any other future developer that may come to the project.
You're welcome to invite them to the podium if you like. It's up to you, however you. Well, sure, come on up.
Come on up, Mr. Martin.
You need to come up, give us your name, and
good evening, Commissioners. My name's Hugh Martin. I live at 2350 Bay Avenue in Lewis. But I lived for 27 years across the street from across Lindell's Road on 75 acres over there that the family owns. And got out of farming when I needed to send my children to college. Had to have money to do that. The one of the things that we have done is try to interest qualified builders who would build affordable homes for the people that need them in this area. I was surprised the other day to learn that in my lifetime, the U.S. population has gone from 131 million people in 1940 to 305 million people today. The Delaware population has gone from 256,000 in 1940 to 853,000 a day. And Americans place great value in owning and living in their homes. And this project is designed to be the kind of orderly, regulated source of single-family houses that we need to accommodate the Delaware growth in population. One other point that I've learned is that this project will have less effect on the groundwater than the large diameter irrigation system which is currently there. it would use only about one quarter. All of the houses alone would use one quarter of what the farm irrigation system uses in a year. I would also recommend to you looking at Exhibit I, which shows in an overview several planned developments in the immediate area, but also a number of single-family homes scattered along the roads in the area, which in my opinion is the worst kind of sprawl of all. It consumes a lot of farmland, makes a lot of people unhappy because they've got farming going on behind them, and it does not accommodate itself in an orderly manner. Any other questions?
Mr. Martin, we asked you to come forward to see if you would advise us as to what type house you're going to place on the property.
No, we haven't gotten to the point where we know what kind of housing would be there, except that we very much want to make it affordable housing.
Let me put it another way. Would you place double-wide manufactured homes in this project?
No, the family would not consider that.
Well, that's the answer that we were really looking for. We just want to make sure it's either modular or particular.
Okay, sir.
No manufactured homes?
None.
All right, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have no further questions.
No further questions? Okay. Mr. Gordy.
Going back to you, the reason why you're not having any amenities, explain that, please.
At the time, 82 lots, large lots, the developer had no intention of providing a playground equipment or basketball court. They figured the large lots, children would be able to have an area to play on those lots, create their own swing sets, things of that nature. And so what they wanted to do was provide a big open area down by the woods, down by the pond, to be used for any type of feature, soccer, football, that kind of thing. So at the time, they had no intention of putting anything specific on that piece. They just wanted to kind of see what the market would bear, the type of children, that kind of stuff. So they had no intention of placing anything specific at this time, Mr. Gordy.
But there is an area there that's big enough that would accommodate a field for play?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there anything in the deed restrictions prohibiting swing sets or anything on individual lots?
I read it so long ago, Mr. Gordy, I couldn't answer that for sure. I'd have to look into it, but I don't believe there's any restrictions about swing sets or anything else being able to be put in that open space.
That's all the questions I have.
All right, Mr. Smith. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the restrictions and covenants, has our counselor's office been
One of the members of counsel in the office have reviewed those. I don't remember who that is, to be honest with you. I could look it up in the file.
Okay, thank you. Are there any tax ditches that are impacted or affected by this?
None that are known.
And had you given any thoughts to any stub streets? You'd mentioned that there's other development in the area and future development.
There's no stub streets that was planned for. There's minimum frontage here for this parcel here. That I did not require an interparcel. We didn't think about putting one there, but there is such a small frontage for an interparcel connected there. All of this area here is in a wooded area, so therefore we didn't consider putting an interparcel there to connect through the woods, that kind of stuff. And then, all right, I guess we're not going to work now. With the wetlands, we provide an interparcel through that parcel, and then the Scott property has its own driveway off of Abbott's Pond Road, so we didn't make any further consideration for interparcel connectors to other surrounding properties based on lot frontages and existing environmental conditions.
That's all, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lang?
All my questions have been asked.
Mr. Couts?
Same.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council, anything to add?
No questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. We thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2007-4, La Crosse Homes of Delaware? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2007-4? All right, we'll start right up here in the front, ma'am. If you'll step right up, give us your name, and you may have the floor.
You want address or just name?
Just your name would be fine.
Okay, I am Marlene Kosnack, and I live on Lindale Road.
Okay.
I object to this development having only one entrance or exit. In case of fire, in case an ambulance needs to get in there, and also for the school buses. And from the looks of the map, and tonight is the first time I have looked at that map, that entrance is directly opposite my house. So I object to one entrance. I think that is unsafe for fire, for ambulance, and for that many kids. If you're talking 82 houses, you're talking 165 to 200 cars going in and out one entrance. I do rescue. I work with both SPCA in Georgetown and the one in Camden. At any time, I have 10 dogs in my house, and the noise level is going to be unbelievable if I have even two kids per house, if that's going to be the only bus stop. I really think this needs to be reconsidered. I am definitely against this development. I am against it from the fact of we have a one-lane bridge going over Abbott's Pond. We really don't need that amount of traffic added to it. It's bad enough now. You need a stop sign on both sides of that bridge, which we don't have. All you do is have a caution sign saying, please stop. And there's times that there have been many near accidents. That Abbott's Mill is a national historical site. I'd hate to see accidents and cars going into that mill. Please reconsider and turn down this development. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good question. Okay, take someone from this side. Come on up, sir.
My name's Gary Giles. I live at 7537 Lindell Road, right across from this proposed development. I'm one of the houses, I guess it's not organized, but my concern is the traffic. Adding 160 to 200 cars, as the lady just said in front of me. The one-lane bridge, it's already getting bad enough out there, all the development in this area. It's really, I moved there 20 years ago. One of the first houses developed or built right there at on Lindell Road. And like again, my concern is the traffic, the noise. I had an opportunity to review this proposal probably 6 months, a year ago. And there was a question that concerned me that the developer answered. And the way I read it, it says, is anything of culture or historical value in the vicinity? And then the way I read it, it said no, that they didn't acknowledge it. Of course, when he spoke today, he acknowledged the one-lane bridge and the nature center. So, again, my concern is noise, traffic, adding to the area, and I'm definitely opposed to the development.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, someone over here. Yes, sir. Step right up.
I'd like to present a letter with your permission.
You may.
My name is Paul Layton, and I represent the Delaware Nature Society. And unfortunately, our director could not be here tonight. He's involved in a program at a prior engagement, teaching children, some of the 12,000 children that we see each year at the Delaware Nature Society. And our property manager is at another very important meeting in Dover. So I'm elected. My name is Paul Layton, and I think I said that, but I live at on Shawnee Road, which is about 1 mile from the project. I have been involved for nearly 13 to 15 years, 15 years with the Nature Society and 13 years in land preservation in the area. And I'd like to point out a couple of things that we are objecting to. First of all, of course, the traffic. And as was pointed out earlier, you know, it is a single lane bridge in front of the historical building, and both the mill and the house are on the National Historical Register, and the whole property is owned by the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs. So there is that one-lane bridge, and in addition to the fact that the cars have to go across that bridge, we have teaching facilities on both sides of the single-lane road there, and we do take children across the road in a very careful manner. We've had some, the speed limit there has been reduced to 25 miles an hour, but people refuse to enforce that or abide by that. So we've had some pretty close calls there already without the addition of 150 other cars. The intersection at Lindale Road and Abbott's Pond Road is a blind intersection. It's very difficult to see in a northerly direction because of the gradient of the land there, especially if there's any kind of vegetation, like if there's a crop or shrubbery, as the gentleman here mentioned. And I don't think that the Division of Highways has any intention of, you know, doing anything about those roads. So when you leave the property, either coming or leaving this development, you have to negotiate, you know, the roads as they are, which are not very adequate. As far as what I do there at the Nature Center, I've been involved in land preservation, as I said before, for 13 to 14 years, starting about 1994. And over the years, we've been able to have put under preservation parcels of land. Some of them have been donated, some of them we have purchased. And it's a partnership with the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs, with DenRec, with Parks and Recreation, and also primarily with the Fish and Wildlife Agency, in addition to the Delaware Nature Society. This has increased over the years. We started off naturally very small. It's increased over the years until we have over 300 acres in preservation right now. This is something that will be utilized by all the citizens, not only of Milford, but all the surrounding counties. And we had the honor of being designated a nature preserve a year ago, which that is the highest level of preservation. It's quite an honor for that to be designated that, and it is known and will be known forever as the Milford Mill Ponds Nature Preserve. I'd like to differ with the gentleman here on the impact of the septic systems. And he said that, or indicated that there probably would be no effluent or any adverse effects on the water courses. I'd like to point out that the property in question is midway between the Tantroff branch drainage and the Johnson's branch drainage. Now, Abbott's Pond is on the Johnson's branch drainage. And as I speak, Abbott's Pond is about, and as far as I know, and I may be corrected on this, but it is the most, has the best water quality of any pond in Sussex County. And to my knowledge, and here again I stand to be corrected, it is the only mill pond that has no houses around it. We manage the property all on the one side, and we have an agreement with a landowner on the opposite side who is very conservation minded, and she, you know, does not foresee having any development around the pond. This water that goes into the ground is either going to go one or two ways. It's like the continental divide of Tantroff branch and Johnson's branch. It's either going to seep toward Johnson's branch or Tantroff branch. The Tantroff branch supplies the water to Blair's Pond, and then through another continuation of the Tantroff branch across Griffiths Road into Griffiths Lake, across into Griffiths Lake from Blair's Pond through the woods, and then also across the road and into Haven Lake and ultimately into the entire Mississippian drainage. Both of those ponds drain into the Mississippian River ultimately, both of those water courses. So, you know, it will have an environmental impact. You know, I mean, the water in Abbott's Pond is very clear. There's an abundance of wildlife there, and even the fact that you know, there's just that many more houses is going to have an adverse effect on it. And we are not opposed to development. It's just that we feel that this project, with the density of the development that is requested, is too much for the infrastructure to support. Is there any questions? It seems to me there was one other point I wanted to make, but is there any questions at this point?
I don't think so, sir. But we appreciate your comments.
Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Okay. Somebody over here? No one else? Okay. Come on. It's kind of like an auction. You kind of got to let me know, because once a gavel falls, too late. One trip to a customer, too, by the way, so get it all out the first time.
Good evening. My name is Charles Brown. I live at the corner of 620 and 633, so my front window looks directly out across this parcel. On the issue of groundwater, I hadn't thought about that too much. My well's in the front yard, and the upper aquifer is at 60 feet in this area because my well's 60 feet. And that's not very deep. And with a lot of usage, and maybe the irrigation does draw a lot. I don't deny that. But we're not facing the additional septic either with that aquifer. The second thing is the traffic issue. I raised two kids out there. I've lived there. I built my home in 84. We never could allow them to ride bicycles. Now we do have a bicycle path on 620. But there's no bicycle. There's no curb. And even with sidewalks, it's very, very dangerous with the amount of traffic that's there now. It's a direct route for people. If you are on the Abbott's Pond Road in the morning, people coming from Greenwood and Harrington use that as a route. People from 36 uses as a cut across. Trucks traffic uses Lindale Road because they can't use Abbott's Pond. They can't go across the one-lane bridge, a lot of them, or they refuse to, which is pretty, you know, sensible with them. But it does increase the amount of truck traffic and things. We tried walking the other morning at 7 o'clock, and it was a lot more than we wanted to handle at that point in time with the traffic. The other thing to that is within a 4-mile radius, we have two developments that are currently underway. There is one on the south end of Milford on 113. There is the Bob Dean Farm, which is on 14, just to the east of Houston. And there is also a development that's under construction on Airport Road, all within 4 miles. So I kind of question the need. Plus, we have houses and developments in that area that are new constructions that have been vacant for 2 years. They've never been occupied, and they still have for sale signs. In fact, there's 5 lots right along Lindale Tract right now that have been for sale for over 2 years. So there's going to be additional building. There's going to be additional properties. There are properties for sale. Blair's Pond Estate still has lots available in it. So there's going to be a natural increase in traffic without the development itself. So the farmers that have farmed that property have been very, very good neighbors. They keep cover crops. They do no-till. It's been easy to live with them, and I would hate to see that come to an end.
All right, sir. We thank you. If there is anyone here who is parked in the circle out front, you'll need to move your vehicle. Any of the commissioners?
Yeah.
Okay. We are going to recess for 10 minutes, and then we'll resume. So anybody who needs to move their car